and seek and ask God what exactly he would have me to preach. I thought I'd show you a little bit of what some of my personal prayer journal is, and to help you understand a little bit how I pray and how I go before the Lord. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm not trying to say, look at what I do. But prayer is a difficult thing for many people. I know what Mr. Mark preached about, I guess it was probably 3 weeks ago. He said the most important word in prayer is when. About prayer is when. And I agree that the most important thing is when you pray, because so many people just, they don't pray. And when they do pray, they're not doing it in a way or a fashion. They feel like nothing's getting accomplished. And they many times has their hearts and their thoughts and their minds somewhere else. That to consistently pray on a regular basis and spend time with God and just feel like you've communicated with God is something that is a lot of people find difficult. So tonight what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some of the things that helps me keep on track. It's not the entire thing I do when I pray or when I have my private time or devotion times. I'm not going to, some of that stuff is personal between me and God. But these are some things that I think could be a real help to you. And I think it could be a real blessing to you as you take and you look at it and you listen to it. In the past, we've developed back in 2008 and 2009, we had these cards, these prayer cards, giving a list of 9 or 10 different things to pray for. So you'll see a few of those things on there. But these are more generic. These are all scriptural, but these are all things that help you in your prayers. A couple years ago in Sunday school, we preached a lesson talking about and the importance of praising the Lord, the importance of claiming the promises and different things when it comes to prayer. And as I was praying and just asking and seeking God for what it is that would help our church tonight, he laid upon my heart just to be open and honest with you. Now, I've told you before, I'm not perfect. Most of you know that. If you haven't figured that out yet, spend some time with me, then you'll see that I'm not perfect. I don't say I have all the answers, but this is something that helps me when it comes to my prayer life and helps me to stay focused. And I use a lot of scripture when I pray. As I use scripture, it shows me, reminds me, it teaches me, gives me an opportunity to claim promises, but also gives me an opportunity to stay focused. Also to have the right mentality and have the right attitude of who I'm approaching and why I am approaching them and how I'm supposed to approach them. And as we approach God, it's just there's so much we could learn about prayer. We could spend years talking about prayer. But tonight I'd just like to open up. I called it a prayer journal because I have a little book or a notebook that I keep, and I've had some different ones over the years that I just keep and I fill out as the Lord leads and just helps me a little bit. So tonight when we look at this, I want you to let's look at Matthew chapter number 6. And as we look at Matthew chapter number 6, we have the model prayer that's given from Jesus Christ. And I'll show that how some of the things I draw out of my prayer journal comes from the thoughts that's found here in Matthew chapter number 6. Now, some people call this the Lord's Prayer. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ giving us a model prayer. He doesn't have to ask for forgiveness of sins and different things like that. But here, it does help us a little bit here in Matthew chapter number 6. Let's start in verse number 5. It says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." Now, some people literally have a closet. Some people have other places that are private, a place where they meet God with. One of my favorite places to pray is when the building is empty. I love praying in here. I love being able to visualize the faces and places where people sit. And this is kind of one of my private places that sometimes when someone comes in the door and they see me walking out from here, it's because I heard someone come in. We should all have a place. It's kind of neat when you go to the book of Genesis and you see, I think it was Abraham that had the place, I think it was at the plains of Mamre, if I'm saying that correctly, where there was a group where he met with God. He built an altar. Of course, he built an altar every time he went to a new place because he wanted to communicate with God. But at this place is where God told him about his child, and he beseeched God about his son. And this is the place where he met and he talked to God about what was going to happen in Sodom and Gomorrah, and where he prayed to God about the Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's a special place for him. This is where he went out to pray, and we should all have a special place to pray. This is not the only spot because it's not always appropriate for me to pray in here because I don't do it when other people are around. Sometimes it's in my back office. Sometimes it's taking a walk, whatever it is that works for that time period. But we should have a special place
where we meet God. And I think this is true not only for adults, but this should be true for children, true for teenagers too. We all need to learn how to develop a relationship with God. And you're going to do that by communicating to them. Then we begin to see children as they grow, they add more and more into their prayers instead of just laying me down to sleep. Then they say, well, let's pray for this or let's pray for that, until you see that they begin to develop a personal relationship with God. I love hearing children pray when they have when they're used to talking to God. You can see the sincerity there. So let's keep on going here. It says in verse number 6, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. You say, well, Pastor, you're getting ready to show us different things you go through as you pray. And I don't think this is vain repetition. It's not something that I quote every single verse, but it sets me in a mind period. I'm not saying things vainly. I'm saying things as I speak to the Lord on behalf of how he's working and dealing in my heart. As the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Verse number 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. And then he begins to give the model prayer. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, I honestly believe that there's power in prayer. And Lord, as a people, if we want to be a powerful people and in your work and seeing you work and answer our prayers, and Lord, us doing your will, it all begins, Lord, with a personal relationship with you and as we develop that relationship. Lord, I pray that you grab a hold of people's minds and their hearts today. Lord, as we consider prayer, that they once again make a new commitment to seek you, Lord, once again. Seek your face, and Lord, search you, and Lord, let you hear from them. And Lord, I pray tonight you help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, one of the things I think is good, it's not, once again, I'm not saying that everything that happens tonight is something that's going to help you, but something that helps me is if there's a couple quotes that you find from individuals that helps you on certain subjects. The rest is going to be all biblical. I put this out there because I didn't want you looking up the verses ahead of time. But I put these quotes up there, and he said, why do you put quotes from individuals? Because people that have gone and done it before, and there are things that remind us and help us and show us. I have a lot of quotes that I enjoy. If you write them down, sometimes you put them up on walls and things like that. They don't replace the scriptures, but hearing what people that you might look up to would think about a certain subject can encourage you. So when you go back and you read what Hudson Taylor said about prayer, or what Jim Elliot said about prayer, or here you see what D.L. Moody says, is I'd rather be able to pray than be a great preacher. Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but only how to pray. And to be honest with you, if we want to know how to pray in God's power and preach in God's power of God's Holy Spirit upon us, we have to first learn how to pray. Curtis Hudson said, there is more that you can do after you pray, but there is nothing you can do until you pray. And there's a couple things there, a couple quotes. There is a ton of quotes. If you just go look on good websites, quotes about prayers, and you can see all the different things. And it's very convicting thoughts and very convicting, helping us understand the purpose of it. So let's see here, different things when it comes to our prayer journal. Some things I think can help us. First of all, is praying with the right attitude. You say, praying with the right attitude. You say, what do you mean by praying with the right attitude? As we approach God, we need to consider some things. And Christ starts here by teaching us in verse number 9, after this manner, therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father. Now, when we're approaching the God of the universe, he doesn't want us to think of him as some evil being or some being that does not care for us. He's saying, look at us, and he says, look at me as a father. And we have our earthly fathers, and hopefully you have a good relationship with your earthly fathers. But with our relationships that we have with our earthly fathers, you know what? They're not perfect. They make mistakes. And many times, when we approach our earthly fathers, they can't help us. I have an earthly father I love and I respect. He if I had a need, if I had trouble, if I had a desire for something. He might not always be able to fulfill my need, but he's someone I could turn to, and he would give me, I believe, an honest opinion. He wouldn't candy coat it. He wouldn't be judgmental. He would tell me, and he would say things to help me. I love my Father, but my Heavenly Father, as I'm praying to him, I need to understand who I'm going to. I'm not going to some creature that is not able to be touched, but instead I am coming to a God who loves me, who says, I want you to look at me as a father. But it's a difference in your father. It says, Father, which art in heaven? See, God is not prisoner in this universe. He goes above and beyond our universe. So as we approach God, we first see him as someone who loves us, someone who cares for us, someone who wants what's best for us, someone who is all-knowing, someone who can help us and lead us and direct us and guide us. But he is not handcuffed to this world. Like I said, my earthly father, if I had a need and I said, go to him and say, Dad, I have this financial need. Many times he would not be able to help me. He's helped me before in the past of college and things like that, but he's not a very rich man. And there he might say, son, I'd love to help you, but I can't. You know what? My heavenly father is not restricted that way. And when I go to God, this is where faith begins, is when we recognize that we are going to a God who loves us, but not only a God who loves us, but a God that is able to do abundantly above all that we ever ask or think. He is able to do more than just what we can imagine. And that's how we should approach him. We shouldn't approach him like we're going to a father or a mother here in this world and say, look, mom, dad, I know you really can't help me, but I'm going to tell you about this need. Maybe you can pray with me for it. No, we're going to God that can answer these things. And that's what I'm saying, having the right attitude. But also, you see that there's a reminder that's found in verse number 9. It says, hallowed be thy name. It says, and this is in the idea of let thy name be made holy. That we need to remember to reverence, to respect, and to praise God, and to have the right attitude that, yes, we're coming to him as a father, but with someone who deserves our reverence, someone who deserves our respect. Yes, he is not handcuffed to this world, but he is a holy God. And as we approach it, we shouldn't be done flippantly. You should take the time to pause and think, I am entering into the presence of God. And this is something that I should take seriously and something I should be interested in doing and realize what we're doing. And you see the next verse that's up there. This helps me. Once again, these things might not always help you. Some of these things might not get you the same way they get me. But in Revelation chapter 4:11, I come to this verse and this puts me in perspective. Puts God in perspective for me. It says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So as I go to God and I see him as my father, and as I see him as my father, I see him that he is in heaven, he is not handcuffed to this world, and I remember that his name is holy, and then it reminds me, this verse is that, you know what, he created all things. He is worthy of glory. He is worthy of honor. He is worthy of praise. I cannot praise him enough. I cannot give him enough glory. I cannot give him enough honor. He deserves all I have. And I tell you, that's a lot different than what most people come to prayer. When most people come to pray and they start asking, God, I want this. God, I want this. God, I want this. And we say, amen. But if we look at things and understand that God is the one who deserves the glory, deserves the honor, deserves the praise, remembering that he created all things and for his pleasure I was created. So I then go to this idea, how do I give God honor? How do I give God glory? And that's where I come to this next verse. And I have this written out, and it says in this verse, it reminds me that I belong to God. He said, how can I in my life give honor and praise to God? And it brings me to this verse, says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So if God is my Father, and he deserves all glory, he deserves all honor, he deserves all praise, how do I get there? And that's what, in my prayer life, I'm asking God, how in the world can I show you glory? How in the world can I show you honor? And the first thing is, remember, it's not about me. That I've been bought with a price. I belong to God. The life God has given me is not my own. It is his. I can glorify God. And look what it says in that last verse, where ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So as I approach God, I'm saying, Lord, you deserve all praise. You deserve all glory. Lord, how do I get you there? And it reminds me today as I open up and I said, Lord, it's not me. I don't belong to myself. And the trials and tests that I face, Lord, if you're going to get glory out of them, Lord, you bought me. My life is not my own, Lord. This life is yours. Matthew 6:10 is where one of the thoughts I get there says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I come to this spot and I think in that verse, you know, if I'm saying thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, I think that will be done in earth. What am I praying for? Am I will God's will to be done over all on the earth? I can't do that personally. But you know what I can do? I can allow God's will to be done in my life in this earth. Yeah, we can pray, yes, Lord, we want God's will done to be at this church. But you know what? How God's will is going to be done at this church? If us as a church individually does God's will. And that's what we're praying. We're saying, Lord, look, this is not me. This is not my life, Lord. It's your life. And Lord, I want to do your will. I want to accomplish your will. Lord, show me how to do that. So we come to this point, if we realize that we belong to God, what is it that God wants me to do with my life? And the next thing I always make mention of is that I pray to with a desire to love God. When I come to the scriptures, I try to see and understand that God is worthy of all glory. He's worthy of all praise. And my life is not my own. And in my life, the Bible says, and in my soul and my spirit, I can glorify God. How do I get there? That's what I need to figure out. And I need to ask God. And many times I fall short in the way I love him. You know, we heard today, more love to thee. And that's what our desire is. And how do we get to love God more? It's the more we know and more we understand him. And here it is. Pray with a desire to love God. Now, these little hashtags or these little titles above are not things that I have written out in my. I just have the prayers. I was trying to find ways to try to do the transitions. But it's this idea that I need to love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. If I truly want to glorify God with my life, I need to ask him, Lord, I need to love you better. Lord, help me today to love you with my soul. Help me today to love you with my mind, my strength. Lord, this is what you've commanded me. And the litmus test, the test to see whether or not I truly love you, Lord, is am I keeping your commandments? And Lord, I'm sorry for those things. I failed you, Lord. Help me to love you better. So as I'm going through this and I see God, he deserves all glory and honor and praise, and that my life can bring glory and honor. I figure out how to get there, and that's by loving God in the right way. The next thing I do, I pray remembering his promises. These are just a few of them. But how can I get to the point where I'm glorifying God? What does he tell me to do with my life? It reminds me that God wants to hear from me and that God wants us to hear from him. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, he wants us to pray and seek his face, as if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And what say, Pastor, what's the big deal of this verse? It reminds me who I am. It reminds me that if I want to hear from God, and I want God's glory and God's presence in my life, I need to be humble. And it says, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. These are things I need to do. These are things that as I'm praying and seeking from God, if I'm looking to hear from heaven, if I'm looking for my sins to be forgiven, if I'm looking to be used by God, these are things I need to do in my heart. These are things I need to be reminded of. These are not just things that are flippantly. These are things as we go and we talk to God and say, Lord, I know you tell me to seek your face. I know you tell me to pray. I know you tell me to turn from your wicked ways. I know you tell me to just humble myself. I need your help, Lord. Lord, help me do these things. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I begin to say, Lord, I want to see those things. I want you to show me, Lord, the things you want me to see in my life. And Lord, I know this begins by me calling out to you. And when I call out to you, I must be humble. I must be interested in seeking your face and turning away from wicked ways. It reminds me where God says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This God wants to hear from us. And as we pray and we seek God's face, we need to remember he will answer us. Next thing I look at, and it's hopefully you guys understand, maybe I'm just dumber than the rest of you, is that I need wisdom. I cannot glorify God on my own. I don't know how to get there. I can't figure it out. I can look at what God's word says, and God's word tells me to love him, but how do I know how to love in the way? I seek after him. I search for him. I look to him. I try to turn from my wicked ways. I try to humble myself, but you know, in all reality, if I'm not going to be the pastor I need to be, I'm not going to be the husband and the father and the son and the brother and the friend that I need to be without God's wisdom. And God in his word says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And so if we really truly are seeking God and searching God and looking to glorify and honor God, we need God to tell us exactly what he wants us to do, because in our minds, we're going to fail. And that's when the Proverbs 3:5-7 comes into it. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In different spots in my notebook, I have the word all circled or underlined, because I need to be reminded of that. Lord, I need to trust you with all my heart. Lord, I can't lean according to my own understandings, because you know what? I'm going to fail if I do that. Lord, help me today in all thy ways to acknowledge you. Lord, help me, as the Bible says, and he shall direct thy paths. Lord, I need your wisdom and leadership. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Lord, help me today to have a proper perspective and reverence of you. Help me to fear you. Help me not to want to disappoint you. Lord, help me depart from evil. And then I began to think, okay, if I get God's wisdom, God's not going to reveal something unto me until I'm willing to be faithful with the things he's already told me. And here, this idea of God's wisdom, what does God's wisdom tell me to do with my sins? What does God's wisdom tell me what to do with my sins? And you know, we have to deal with our sins. The Bible shows us and tells us, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear from me. I had that written down because I know that I need to see what my sin does to me. So many times we like to cover up our sins. And so many times we like to say, it's not hurting me, it's not hurting anyone else. Why should it bother me? But the Bible tells us that if we regard it in our heart, we're not going to hear from God. There's no sense to praying. And then in Isaiah 59, it talks about what our sin does. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You know what, Lord? I need to recognize that my sins are separating and breaking our fellowship. God, give me truth. I need truth in the inward parts, as it talks about in Psalms 51. It says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Lord, I need my relationship. I need to hear from you. I need your wisdom, Lord, and I need you to hear from me. God, please help me deal with my sins. And as we deal with our sins, we remember, and this is one of those wonderful promises. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And here, I'm thankful for that. I don't know about you, but I'm really thankful for that, because my sins have separated me from God. My fellowship is broken. And if I want true wisdom, I need to go to God and say, God, help me deal with my sins. And then it doesn't only stop with there with our sins. I have these verses down here to help me with future sins. You know what? We all have a sin problem, sin nature. I have these verses here that helps me. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. I ask God, Lord, I need your help with cleansing. I know you've forgiven me of your sins. You've cleansed me from all unrighteousness. But God, I need your help in order not to sin anymore. I need some wisdom, Lord, on how to do this and how to continue on living and continue on proceeding on. Because, Lord, if I keep on the way I'm going, I'm going to continue on sinning. Lord, I need your help. And then I look at Psalms 119:11, and it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Bible tells me this, how I can get clean. The Bible tells me how I can be cleansed. And the Bible tells me how I can continue on living. I don't know about you. I need to be reminded of that every day. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't have a problem with sin. Maybe you don't have a problem with doing anything wrong. Maybe there's no anger. Maybe there's no bitterness. Maybe there's nothing that ever bothers you. But as I'm talking to God, I'm asking God, Lord, I need your help keeping me clean. Lord, remind me of your word. Bring these things to remembrance and help me. Now, there's another thing I do, and I have in this, is this idea of praying for victory over past sins. Now, I'm not saying that all those things are things I've struggled with. I try to pick things that I knew that most men struggle with. And, you know, sometimes when our sins we deal with the same thing over and over. And what we need to have is, what I try to do with these verses that attach to these things is like ammunition. As I remember these things, and I ask the Lord, and as you look what it says in Matthew 6:13, it says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I look at that verse, and we're asking God to help us, to deliver us from the spot that's going to tempt us. And how do we do that? And I think one of the ways it helps me in doing it is knowing Scripture that fights against the sins that I've struggled with before in the past. You know, this list is a lot shorter than what my list is because of the fact that there's many things that God has given me victory with and helped me with. But in these just few things, you know, help me not to be lazy. And if laziness is one of my problems, I will have Scripture that's written next to the problem of laziness. And, you know, just a reminder, if my thought life is an issue or a problem, and I'll say, "Lord, thank you for helping me. Thank you for giving me victory here. Lord, help me." And I'll claim the verses. If it's about being a soul winner, then I'll look at the verses where I'm commanded to be a soul winner. And I'll look at the verses where it says that he goes along with me and that he works with me. If it's about my anger, I'll see some of the problems with anger and realize that's not the person I want to be. And I'll ask God to help me with that. And now help me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I'll look at that and I'll see the Scriptures and I'll remember what Christ did for us. And if it's about my giving, this could be a whole list of things, but it's facing the giants of sin in our lives. It can be bitterness. It can be frustration and the idea that, it doesn't seem like you can have victory. Now, how you get victory is by, we learned already in the verse before, it's by taking heed to his word, by hiding God's word in our heart. And you see the transition here is that we're hiding these words. And you say, "Pastor, I can't remember all these scriptures that you're saying. There's no way I can memorize them all." Well, see, that's why it's written out. And as you're going through it day after day after day, you know what's going to happen? You're going to remember a lot of these. And once again, these things might not apply to you. These things might not help you. But I know one of the great ways you can accomplish your, have victory over sin is by taking God's word and hiding it in your heart. How do we know that? The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You know, that's how we can have victory, is by putting God's word, by taking heed to it. Once again, when you look at these different sins, you put your spot there and you look at all these different things and you say, "Lord, help me to have victory today as I've had victory in the past." Next thing is, as I see that I've dealt with my sin problem, one of my greatest desires, and I think it's scriptural, I even get it from where it says in Matthew 5:16. It says, actually, it's not Matthew 5:16. In verse number 14, it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Matthew 5:16, not 6:16. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is heaven." You know, I ask God. I ask God every day that I go through this and say, "Lord, I want people to see Christ in my life. I want them to see you. I don't want them to see me." And this is times when I go through and I actually have special times. I have a page for my wife and a page for my sons. And on all that, I say, I'm asking that my wife see Christ in my life and that Christians see it, that Andrew sees it. And that's my desire. I don't want people to see me. I want to see Christ. How am I going to get there? I'm not going to get there on my own. You already know I fail miserably when it comes to that. But that's what I'm praying and seeking God's face for. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:32, "And be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." And we see this in verse number 12. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." You know, we're going to see, Christ is going to see us when we're willing to be forgiving. There's a lot of areas and a lot of spots where people will see Christ in us, but one of the greatest ways he'll see us is by us being willing to forgive others. And we need God's help for that. We need God's wisdom on how to. We need God's power and God's spirit being able to do that. Say, "Pastor, I can't have Christ in me. How in the world can I do that?" Well, that's the next thing. It transitions to asking God to fill us with his Holy Spirit. We need God's Holy Spirit. There's no way Christ is going to be seen in your life until God has control of your life. And that's when you see the verses where it says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 25 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's saying these are the fruits that should be in your life. And sometimes I look at those and say, Lord, am I really a loving? Am I really joyful? Do I really have peace? Because this is what the Holy Spirit is willing to work out in my life. Lord, I need your help with this. And it continues on, the verses, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Have I crucified myself, Lord? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And here's the idea of walking with God. Am I agreeing with you, Lord? Is my life really appealing to you? Am I walking by faith? Am I walking with God, as we learned about Enoch last week? So as we continue with the praying and the filling of the Holy Spirit, we didn't pray for fruit. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by fruit? You mean our fruit trees out back? No, not our fruit trees, but that we have fruit in our lives. Look what it says in John 15, 16. It says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. Now, the Bible is saying there that he's ordained us to bring forth fruit. His desire is that we have fruit in our lives. Now, not only just fruit, it says, and that your fruit should remain. It seems like if we're not bringing forth the fruit, it seems like we're missing something that he's ordained us to do. Now, when we consider fruit, I've told you before and more than once that fruit is two different things. Fruit, first of all, could be the fruit of the Spirit. It's when Christ is showing up in our lives and all these things are producing the fruit of the Spirit. That is fruit. And I agree, there's two different things. But also fruit includes winning people to Christ and bringing people to Christ and that having fruit that remains. And the Bible says that whosoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I get to verses like that and I struggle because, Lord, I'm asking things, but when my desires turn into his desires, then he's going to give me my answers to my prayer. And it's not the idea that he's not willing to answer. It's just that I'm trying to get my work accomplished in this work and with him instead of allowing God to get his work and his will done in my life. Last but not least, and there's many more things that we could go over and we could look at, but it's prayer for revival. You know, there's a lot of things that the list is not complete. It's not all the things that are inside of what I go through and what I look at when I pray. But one thing I'd like to mention is revival. Oh, Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Oh, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known, in wrath, remember mercy. You know, this verse reminds me it's not my work, it's God's work. And in the midst of the years is referring that during my lifetime, Lord, please bring revival. Bring revival to my heart, bring revival to the people I care for, bring revival to our country. And the Bible says, will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice? So it's not a thing that we need to ask for, but approaching God thankfully. There are many times next to the things I'm praying for, I write, thank you for, and put certain things there. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my sons. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. You know, we need to approach God thankfully. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. This is how we're supposed to approach God, thankfully. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You say, Pastor, if I took the time and looked through all those things and prayed all those things and talked to God about all those things, I'd be there all day. The truth is, you wouldn't be. The truth is, when we talk about having prayer time, many times our minds are going one way or another way. And even when I'm going through my own prayer thoughts and journals, sometimes my mind gets distracted. But it's so much easier when I have a focus and a point to look to in God's word and ask God through his word, claiming promises, remembering requests, remembering needs I have, looking at the illustrations and the models that God has given me, and just seeking God's face. Now, maybe none of you struggle with your prayer life. maybe none of you, you can go and you can pray and you don't ever get distracted. You never have any needs. You get all your prayers answered. Maybe that's the case. But these are things that when, as I grow and as I learn, these are things that's helped me. Now, and the coolest thing of it all is almost every day, the Lord impresses something new to put in there, whether it be a new verse or whether it's adding a new thing. And I enjoy going through and looking through it. Sometimes I'm able to do a little bit faster, have to do a little bit faster than I like. And sometimes I get a little bit more time. Sometimes I get interrupted in between. There's many more things that we pray for. We pray for our family. We pray for our country. We should pray for its leaders. You should pray for your pastor. You should be praying for Brother Mark. You should be praying for church leadership. You should be praying for your Sunday school teacher. You should be praying for one another. We should be praying laborers. That's what the Lord has told us, to pray for laborers. The harvest is ready to be picked. We need laborers. Pray for missions. Then obviously we got physical needs. We have things that we're in need of. We need to pray for the sick. But as you look at this and understand, how are you going to approach God? If you approach God on the behalf, hey, God, I'm here. You need to give me what I need. Then I don't think God is going to hear that prayer as well as he's going to hear, Lord, this isn't my life. Lord, this is your life. I want you to live your life through me. And Lord, I need your wisdom. I need direction. I need help. And then from an open heart and from the open word, ask God to give you direction. Ask God to deal with your sins. Ask God to fill you with his spirit. Ask God to do all these different things. And one last thing I'd like to encourage you in your prayer journal. If you don't have one, I encourage you to start off day one just thinking about one thing, about how you should approach God, and just add it day by day. But at one special section, I have a list of different specific requests. And there are certain requests that I have a need for. Maybe it was salvation of someone. Maybe it was a problem. And this is many times that I have individuals that seems like there's a little conflict with. And I let God lead me on how to talk to them because I want God's leadership. And I'll write down how to deal with and put a person's name there. And I'll just start praying about that every day. I'll put the date by when I wrote that name down. When God answers that prayer, I'll write down also the date when he answered that prayer. And I tell you, if you do that over months or a year period, I bet you can go back and you can look, you know what? God was faithful there. God answered that prayer. God worked that need out. God saw that person come to church. You know what? That person's no longer sick. And there's a long list. Yes, and that will encourage your faith, yes, that you prayed for something and God answered that prayer. Some people are sitting here tonight because God answered a prayer. Some people are saved here tonight because God answered a prayer of someone that was praying for them. And like I said, that can be the back page or the back couple pages. You start making lists of the different things that you have specific requests. Say, Pastor, in there, you didn't mention any of your requests. You mean you don't have any needs? Yes, I have needs. Yes, I have physical things. The Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. You know, there are daily needs that we have. And so I do have that. But that's not the first thing I approach. I get the mentality into this that, hey, God deserves all glory. God deserves all power. God deserves all honor. He's created everything. It was by him and for his pleasure I'm here, and that my focus in my life and my prayer life should be a communication with him. Lord, how can I glorify you in my life? How can I accomplish what you want me to do? And some of these things might seem like, say, Pastor, there's no way I could pray like that. Let me encourage you. Get a book out. Start with one day one and look about how to approach God. Look up your own verses. Find the things that God speaks to your heart about. These are ones that help me. There's many more that are in that book. And these are things that encourage me and remind me. Different verses might remind you of different things. There might be things that you struggle with that I've never struggled with. But we need God's wisdom on how to deal things. How are we going to get God's wisdom? Is by getting to know him. How are we going to get to know him? Is by having a personal relationship with him and developing that personal relationship. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.